We finished the book of Colossians last week, and tonight we are taking on the book of Philemon. It is the shortest book in the New Testament. It is only one chapter long, and it is a personal letter from Paul the Apostle to Philemon, a man who lived in the city of Colossae. Philemon does not follow Colossians in sequence in the way the books are arranged in the New Testament, but it makes sense to study Philemon after Colossians because of the close connection between Philemon and Colossians. The book of Colossians was written to a church in the city of Colossae in the Roman province of Asia, which is Asia Minor or modern-day Turkey. If you can picture the Roman Empire spread out around the Mediterranean Sea, you have Italy over on the western extreme, and the city of Rome on the western side of Italy. Between Italy and Greece, you have the Adriatic Sea. Moving eastward, you have the Aegean Sea between Greece and Asia. On the coast of the Aegean Sea, there is the city of Ephesus. South of Ephesus is the city of Miletus. Between Ephesus and Miletus, a river flows into the Aegean Sea called the Meander River. If you follow the Meander River about 100 miles inland into the Roman province of Asia, there's another river that flows into the Meander called the Lycus River. Over there on the Lycus River are the cities of Laodicea and Colossae. Within a 12-mile radius, there are the three cities mentioned in the book of Colossians, chapter 4, including Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis in the Lycus River Valley. There were churches in those three cities that were probably started by the same man, Epaphras. Paul never visited the city of Colossae, as far as we know. There is no recorded visit in the New Testament. And he indicates in Colossians chapter 2, verse 1, that he had not been there, by saying, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face." So he had not been there for the people of the churches in Colossae and Laodicea to see him face to face. The people in the Lycus Valley heard the gospel from Epaphras. Colossians 1, verses 6 and 7 says, "Since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf." What appears to have happened is this. Paul, on his third missionary journey, came to the capital city of the Roman province of Asia, named Ephesus, and stayed there for 3 years. In the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, and the 10th verse, it says, "So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." So Paul had a long and effective evangelistic ministry in the city of Ephesus, and from that ministry there poured out converts through all of that Roman province of Asia. And a product of that ministry through this convert Epaphras was the organization of these churches in the Lycus Valley at Hierapolis, at Laodicea, and at Colossae. Now, Paul is in Rome in prison, and this man Epaphras has made a journey to Rome because of a great burden on his heart for the churches in the Lycus Valley. In the fourth chapter of the book of Colossians, it says in the 12th and 13th verses, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis." That is the city of Colossae, and that is the occasion for Paul writing this letter of Colossians to the church at Colossae. What is the connection between Colossians and Philemon? Last week, in the fourth chapter of Colossians, we were introduced to some people who were companions of Paul in prison in Rome and members of the church at Colossae. One of the persons we were introduced to was Onesimus. Colossians 4:9 says, "With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all the things which are done here." Paul was wrapping up the letter to Colossians, and he said, "I am sending this letter to you by Tychicus, and Onesimus is coming with him, and the two of them will inform you of everything that is going on with me here in Rome." Another name that is mentioned in Colossians chapter 4 is Archippus. Colossians 4:17 says, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Well, here in Philemon, verse 1 and 2, we read Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. That is the same way the book of Colossians begins, in Colossians 1:1. "To Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister." Apphia is a sister to Paul in Christ. In essence, she is a fellow believer, a member of Christ's family, and she is probably the wife of Philemon. "And Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house." There is Archippus. He may have been Philemon's son, and he held some kind of official status in the church. He had a ministry he had received in the Lord. He could have been one of the ministers in the church at Colossae, or he could have been the minister of the church at nearby Laodicea, which is what I suggested, since it is mentioned in the book of Colossians chapter 4 in the near context with him. On down in Philemon, verse 10, we read, "I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment." There is Onesimus, who was coming back to Colossae from Rome with Tychicus, carrying the letter to the Colossians and also this letter to Philemon. This letter to Philemon concerns this man, Onesimus. He and Philemon are the main characters in it. Notice in Philemon verses 1 and 2, "Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy our brother, to Philemon our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia our sister, and Archippus our fellow soldier, and the church in your house." You see how verse 2 ends? "And the church in your house." The church at Colossae met in the house of Philemon. That is not uncommon. As a matter of fact, it was normal for the first couple of centuries of church history for churches to meet in houses. There were no church buildings in New Testament times. Romans 16:5 refers to the church that met in the house of Prisca and Aquila. Colossians 4:15 refers to the church that met in the house of Nympha. That was the church at Laodicea. The house church was the norm. Today, we have a tendency to call the church building the church. But the church building is really not the church. The church building is the building where the church meets. The church is the people who have been called out of the world, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, believed in Jesus Christ, adopted into God's family, members of the body of Christ, not the building. It is great to have a nice building to meet in, and we ought to be thankful for it, but the building is not the church. It's the people. It's the converted people. It's the converts of Jesus Christ who make up the body of Christ. Philemon must have been a fairly well-to-do man and a generous man in order to have a house big enough for the church to meet in. And he also owned slaves, or at least one slave. Onesimus was his slave. All we know about Philemon is what we can glean from this letter and the letter to the Colossians. We learn in this letter that he was a convert of the Apostle Paul, but we do not know how his conversion took place. What I think happened is that Philemon was down at Ephesus when Paul was preaching there for 3 years on his third missionary journey with Epaphras and possibly his slave Onesimus. Epaphras was converted to Christ. Philemon was converted to Christ. They returned to Colossae, and Epaphras started churches at Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis, three cities not too far apart in the Lycus River Valley. The church at Colossae met at Philemon's house. Later on, Onesimus stole some money from Philemon and ran away from Philemon and fled to Rome. Why did he go to Rome? He went to Rome because he could get lost in the crowd in that large city. He wanted secrecy. He wanted anonymity. The Apostle Paul by this time was in prison in Rome with some amount of freedom. He could receive visitors. He had companions. In the providence of God, Onesimus came into contact with the Apostle Paul and got converted to Christ. He became a Christian. How did that happen? It is all speculation, but maybe Onesimus had met the Apostle Paul years before when he accompanied his master, Philemon, to Ephesus. If not that, then surely he had heard about the Apostle Paul from being around the household of Philemon at Colossae, where the church met there in his house. It could be that when he got to Rome, he came to his senses like the prodigal son away in the far country, and he sought out the Apostle Paul. He went to the Apostle Paul, and Paul introduced him to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was converted. He became a new man in Christ. He became one of Paul's companions at Rome, assisting him in prison. Epaphras was also there from Colossae, having come to see Paul with some concerns about the church. Maybe Epaphras was the one who introduced Onesimus to Paul. Maybe Epaphras ran into Onesimus on the street in Rome and brought him to Paul. Now, after proving the genuineness of his conversion to Christ and assisting Paul in prison in Rome, Paul is sending him back to Colossae with Tychicus, who is carrying the letter to the Colossians and this letter to Philemon and probably the letter to Ephesians as well, to be dropped off at Ephesus on the way. The theme of the book of Philemon is forgiveness. The purpose of Paul writing this personal letter to Philemon was to appeal to him and persuade him to forgive Onesimus, this runaway slave who got converted and is being sent back because it was the right thing to do. So it is a book with a message about forgiveness. And that is a message that we need to hear. We are going to see in this book the principle of imputation illustrated. In verses 18 and 19, Paul says to Philemon, "If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it." If Onesimus has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I will repay it. That is what Paul was willing to do for Onesimus, to be forgiven and reconciled to Philemon. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for sinners, to be reconciled to God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is a tremendous thing that God does for us. He takes our sin and imputes it to Christ. He takes the righteousness of Christ and imputes it to us. Christ paid the debt that we could not pay. The righteousness of Christ is credited to our account so that we are treated as righteous by God, whom we offended. We can be forgiven because Jesus, the Son of God, said to the Father, to whom we owed a debt that we could never repay, charge their sin to my account. I will repay it. So be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, and thank God and rejoice for imputation. Let's pray.